The first reading is from the book of Joshua. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Now, therefore, revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight. He protected us along all the way that we went and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. The second reading is from Ephesians. "Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, and fasten the belt of truth against your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak." Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
The gospel according to John, the 6th chapter. "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever." Jesus said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you there are some who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who was the one that would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father. Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. So today is our fifth and final week in the Bread of Life discourse. And I'm going to preach on Ephesians. So I hung in there as long as I could, people, but 5 weeks is too many weeks. So I decided to look at the reading from Ephesians, but it's not an easy one either, because the letter to the Ephesians is full of problematic verses that have been taken out of their original context and used to defend patriarchy and slavery and the mistreatment of women and all sorts of garbage. And this passage, the one we heard this morning, it's been a favorite of modern Christians, I think in part because it provides such a clear visual. It's a metaphor that's really easy to grab hold of. But more often than not, it's been used to promote a sort of militarized version of the faith, using the language of prayer warriors or waging war against evil, soldiering up by putting on God's armor. But using the metaphor in this way really misses the mark. It misses the point of what's being said and why this image was originally used. For the Christians of Asia Minor reading this letter, the metaphor of armor would have connected with their daily experience of Roman soldiers. They would have been all too familiar with the armor worn by those occupying forces that threatened and harassed them. So the author is using this familiar image and turning it on its head. Rather than violent or threatening, this armor that God gives is made of truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, and the Holy Spirit. Called to put on this armor, Christians are not being called to return violence with violence. Instead, they are called to put on God's truth, to put their faith in the promise of life that they have been given. Rather than putting their trust in weapons, in a sword of steel, followers of Jesus are to put their trust in God's word of truth and in God's gospel of peace. Truth, faith, God's word of peace. This is the armor we have been given. This is the safekeeping we have been given. And these are the tools and protection that we have been given to face all the forces of evil that we face in the world. Now, I know that that language, forces of evil or evil spirits, that does not fit comfortably into our modern understanding. But we are aware of the evils of the world, right? Racism, sexism, greed, patriarchy, heterosexism, anti-trans rhetoric. It's a mouthful, but it's not homophobia or transphobia, right? Phobias are diagnostic, they're mental illnesses. This is about hatred. This is about discrimination. Those are the demons in our lives. Demons of fear, division, and hatred. The callous destruction of the environment and of human life. These are the spiritual forces of evil that we are up against. It's easy to want to dismiss this pre-enlightenment language, but it does speak to our lives. We know about evil. An article I read by Katie Hines Shaw highlights verse 15 in our Ephesians text, which I'd never really paid much attention to before, which says, "As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace." Right in the middle of this military-based metaphor is a key that shows us that something very different is happening here. This is not setting us up to be warriors for Christ. This is throwing out all of our human tendencies toward war and violence, and instead clothing us, preparing us to be proclaimers of peace. And what I really love about this verse, which the article pointed out for me, is this vague part that says, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. Katie Hines Shaw writes, "What matters isn't what shoe is worn, but the intention of the wearer." Now, I don't know anything about ancient footwear, but for modern applications, this is very cool because we wear as many different shoes as we wear proverbial hats. Work boots, dress shoes, running shoes, football cleats, orthopedic shoes, dancing shoes, Doc Martens, Chuck Taylors, flip-flops, or Crocs. Whatever shoes we wear, they can be worn to proclaim the gospel of peace. I love this, and I need this reminder in my life because sometimes I get caught up in thinking that I'm not doing enough with my life, that I'm not doing things that are big enough or grand enough, that in the face of all those evils, I'm simply not doing enough. But the work of the gospel is not taking the world by siege. It's the grassroots movement of living out God's love, proclaiming the gospel of peace with all the tiny moments of our lives, in whatever shoes we're wearing that day. Like most of the letters in the Bible, Ephesians is about figuring out how to live out our faith in our daily lives, in our communities, in our relationships, in all the things that we do. Because in all the many shoes that we wear, we are always called to be disciples. We are always called to be followers of Jesus, to be proclaimers of peace. And this is God's peace. Peace was a word that was thrown around a lot in the ancient world. Rome claimed it as part of their propaganda, claiming that they were the only ones who could provide peace. But the peace Rome offered was bought with fear and violence, providing for a few at the cost of the many. The peace of Rome was the lack of war, but not the promise of life. God's peace, the peace that we are called to proclaim, is a peace brought by providing for all people, caring for all people, sharing God's abundance with all people. This is what breaks down hatred and division. This is what leads to life. Because the peace God offers goes beyond the absence of war and leads to a fullness of life. That is what Jesus was talking about in that Bread of Life discourse that I said I wasn't going to talk about. When we are fed by Christ, our whole lives are shaped by him, by his teachings. Fed by Christ, we are changed by what we have been given. Fed by Christ, we are nourished and nurtured and strengthened to go out into the world even in the face of evil. Through Jesus, who is the bread, we are given the gift of life. Life that comes from living in relationship with God, from living in that abundant love that God has for us and sharing it with others. Life that comes from following Jesus in this different way of living, living in community with God and with one another. It is this gift of life that allows us to put on our shoes, whatever kind we're wearing that day, and live lives that reflect that gift, lives that share that love, lives that proclaim God's peace. Thanks be to God. Amen.